بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I want to first begin with a request, which is to make dua for maghfirat for the mother of Dr. Muhammad Ali Hazrat Ji, which many of you know, or all of you know. He has been here many times. His mother passed away last night. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill her qabr with noor and to give her Jannat al-Firdaus ul-Ala bi ghayri hisab. Alhamdulillah, she was like a mother to me also. And this goes all over the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as in her favor and to reward you with the same and more by His grace and generosity, inshallah. I want to mention something today, which is the issue of hope. Now, as we know, in Islam, to lose hope is kufr. Despair is kufr in Islam. It's not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that the one who has lost hope has committed kufr. Only those who have no belief will have kufr. But to understand this in a scientific as well as a logical context, let me narrate for you a story, a true story that one of my Parsi friends yesterday sent me, Jahangir Ghadiali. And this story is narrated by a Muslim doctor. So this is which he narrated. I will send that with this thing. He said that this doctor mentioned, he said that there was a neurologist, a neurosurgeon. And this neurosurgeon had a friend who was his tennis partner. They used to play tennis together. And but for some funny reason, the tennis partner did not know that his friend was a neurosurgeon. So one day this tennis partner, he had started having bad headaches, and it went to a, you know, serious situation. And so he got himself tested, and when they did a scan, they found he had a brain tumor. So they advised immediate surgery, and when he was introduced to the surgeon, he finds his tennis partner. So all of these are American doctors. So he's very surprised. He said, "Oh, you know, it's you," and so on and so on. Anyway, so this doctor, this neurosurgeon, he performed the surgery. They removed the tumor. The man who had the tumor, he asked him, "What are my chances of survival?" So he said, "Don't worry about it. You will survive, and we have done the surgery, and you will be cured. Nothing to worry about." Then after some time passed, again he developed some symptoms. They found that they needed to do chemo and radiotherapy. So they did radiation, they did chemotherapy, that also continued. And every time this man would meet this neurosurgeon, he would ask me, "Tell me, what are my chances?" And he would say, "Your chances are very good, don't worry about it. It's absolutely fine, you will be cured." He said this continued while this cancer metastasized, it spread. And every time this happened, they would have some more chemos, and this would continue. And he said, and every time this man would ask him, "What are my chances?" And he would say, "Chances are good, don't worry. We must never give up fighting. We have to continue, and you know, we are doing our best, and you will be fine." He says, until it reached a point when the oncologists and all that, they said, "Look, this is gone, finished. There is no hope, and there is nothing we can do, and this man cannot survive. We have done everything that we can do, and that's it." So this neurosurgeon says, this man, by then he had also, you know, traveling, all this was difficult. So he said, "I went to see him in his house, and we sat and talked. And once again he asked me, he said, 'Tell me, what are my chances?' So he said, for the first time I said to him that I think this is the end. And he said, after some time, I left and came home. And he said, but it was weighing very heavy on my heart to say that I had to say to my friend that, you know, this is the end. So the first time I didn't tell him, you know, we have a chance and we should fight. And so he said, I think this is the end. We have done all that we could do. So he said, after a couple of hours, I decided, just let me phone and find out. So he said, I phoned him and his wife picked up the phone. So I asked her, I said, how is he doing? She said, 10 minutes after you left, he died. He said, 10 minutes after you left, he passed away. Now, this doctor says, this neurosurgeon says that it was almost like me telling him that there is hope and you will survive was like a threat of his life. And he said, the moment I told him, this is it, we have done all we can do and this is the end, he says, it was like that thread was cut. And he said, 10 minutes later, right? Now, the thought that comes, especially to somebody like me, I am a very highly logical human being. So, the thought that comes to me is that there is an end, right? So, at what point does hope become fantasy? At what point does hope become something which you are simply saying for the sake of saying? I mean, it really has no meaning. Is that a point? Does this happen? And then I thought to myself, and this is what I want to share, and I want to use, as always, Alhamdulillah, 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 there are examples in the seerah which are for every single thing in the world. The example I want to use is of Rasulullah ﷺ standing on Safa and saying to the people, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِهُ. Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ and become successful. Now, if you look at that time, if I was sitting there and if somebody asked me, and if I saw what was happening, what happened immediately was that all his friends, all the people who used to sing his praises became his enemies. So either they became his enemies or they just dropped and left. Illa mashallah, except, you know, a couple of people, literally a couple of people, two or three people. Other than that, everyone either actively turned against him or they just washed their hands of him. And then if we continue to see the history of his life in Makkah from that point onwards, it is like a downhill slope. Right? Every day was more difficulty and more difficulty and more difficulty and more difficulty until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the 13th year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited him for Isra wal Mi'raj, and that was to uplift his spirits and of course for whatever else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. But the result of that also was negative. Because when he came back, in terms of, you know, reputation and so on, to the extent that some of the Mufassirin and some of the scholars of Seerah, they have said that there were some Muslims who left Islam because of the incident of Mi'raj. Because people said, oh my God, this is what he's saying. Well, you know, obviously this is not right. This is where the position of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu becomes clear, because for in that situation, for somebody to say, if he said it, it is true, was not a simple thing. That was a statement of faith which is unparalleled, and that is the reason why he is called as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So the point is that this is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But one thing you see in his life, and again, when he came to Medina, it was not as if everything became hunky-dory. It did not. Medina was a series of, there were some good things, alhamdulillah, but also Medina was a series of difficulties. Makkah also had good things. I'm not saying good and bad. I'm saying that difficulties did not end continuously till the end. However, simultaneously, it's like two threads in a pattern. The thread, the other thread in that pattern, which you see, one thread is the thread of difficulties, the other thread is the thread of hope. Not once, not for a single instant, in this entire story of Rasulullah's life, do you find a position or a point where you can say, this is where Rasulullah ﷺ's hope was affected or hope went down. Losing hope, of course, was not there at all. But I'm saying, even if I was plotting a graph, is there a point at which this line of mine would take a downward dip? The answer is no. His entire life was filled with hope. Now, how did this hope happen? Because if I am looking at these things logically, there is not one single logical reason. There is not one single evidence, physical, measurable evidence, empirical evidence to say that this mission would ever succeed. Nothing at all. Zero. You are looking at a global mission and you've got like three people behind you. I mean, what kind of stuff is that? I mean, you know. All this big talk and the, you know, noble aim, all of this is good, alhamdulillah. But where is the evidence to show that this thing has got any chance at all of succeeding? Yet, there was hope. Now, how logical is that? And alhamdulillah, the thought that came to my mind is, it is the most logical thing to have hope. Please understand, I'm not saying have hope anyway. No, not anyway. It is the most logical thing. Why? Because hope is based on one thing, which is the possibility of final success. And hope is linked to something. Possibility of final success because. And what is that because? That because is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. A Muslim has hope because there is Allah. And because he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we are saying hope, we are not saying hope as in some kind of limbo. We are talking about who? Hope meaning who? Hope meaning you. Hope meaning me. Right? If I have hope, if you have hope as Muslims, your hope is based on what? Your hope is based on the knowledge and the awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu هو العليم الخبير هو عليم بذات الصدور هو حي الذي لا يموت بيده الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير هو يفعل ما يشاء هو يحكم ما يريد هو فاتر السماوات والأرض هو رزاق ذو القوة المتين. This is Allah. This is my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. So when I have hope, it is the most logical thing to have. It is most illogical not to have hope. Not only is it kufr, but it is also completely logical, because when you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can you not have hope? And I don't care what the circumstances are. Whether we are talking about an individual circumstances with regard to his or her health or their wealth or their, so-called future, or we are talking about the future of the Muslims, or we are talking about political conditions, or we are talking about economic conditions, you're talking about anything on the face of the earth. Because all of this are conditions on a planet which is less than a grain of sand on a beach for the one who created this planet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. How difficult is it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change this? Number one. Number two reason we have hope is because this life is not the end of this life. When that doctor told his friend, this is the end, he is not talking as a Muslim. He is talking as somebody who does not understand akhirah. So for him it is the end. But for a Muslim, when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, last day of his life, he asked Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. He knew all these things. What he is asking her? He says, on which day did your husband die? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, on Monday. He said, what day is today? She said, Monday. Somebody came to him and said, you are ill. Why don't you call the tabib? Why don't you call the doctor? Show it to the doctor. He said, my tabib has seen me. He knows what is wrong. Eh? And then he says to his daughter, Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, he says, bury me in these same clothes. Don't use a new cloth, because a new cloth going into the grave, what is the use of that? Let the new cloth be used by somebody who is living. So did he lose hope? No. He is now saying, this is the day, insha'Allah al-musta'an, well, I will meet my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. How is it the end? It is not the end, it is the beginning. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. It is intiqal, it is moving from one place to another, muntaqil hona, it is a movement from here to there. And for a Muslim, this here to there is always good. For somebody who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, for somebody who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, this movement from here to there is a movement from this dunya, which is a low thing. Sheikh Mutawalli Sharawi rahmatullahi alayhi says very clearly, he said, dunya, Allah gave it the right name, he says, because dunya means something which is low. The opposite of dunya is uliya, something which is ala, which is the akhirah. So somebody who is going from something low to something high, what is he going to say? I lose hope. This is the end. La hawla quwwata illa billah. He said, this is what I was waiting for. This is what I was waiting for. To go from this dunya to the ulya, to go into the akhirah. This is what we are waiting for. This is why why did you wake up in the morning, come for Salatul Fajr? Because of this. Otherwise, you are sleeping peacefully at home. Alhamdulillah. We wake up in the morning, we come for Salatul Fajr in the masjid so that we can sleep peacefully thereafter. Inshallah, Mustahan. Not because we are not crazy. I mean, it's so nice to be able to sleep, you know, happily wake up at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock like everybody else. Why must I wake up at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock? I'm not mad. We do that because when we go in there, alhamdulillah, we say, now I sleep. Bismillahi ta'ala. To go from this into that, so therefore, for a Muslim, hope is the most natural, the most logical thing possible in any situation. And any time, therefore, if you find you're facing difficulties and so on and so forth, and your heart looks down and heavy, and you know, no, la hawla quwwata illa billah. Say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ahdahu la sharika lahu. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd. Yuhyi wa yumit. Wa huwa hayyul ladhi daimun la yamut. Bi yadihi alkhair innaka ala kulli shayin qadir. Say, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Hasbi Allah la ilaha illa huwa alayhi tawakkaltu. Wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Recite lots and lots of durud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away all of that, whatever is in your heart, and will fill it with His noor and with the light of His noor, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always, always, always keep us in a state of hope, of relief from difficulties in this dunya, and of meeting Him, inshaAllah al-musta'an, and to make that day the very best possible day of our lives, because that is the day for which we have been waiting all our lives. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.